If you've been with us, starting back August 11th was the first message I did entitled Stay Vertical and Stay Victorious. Well, tonight is going to be part five. If you haven't been with us and you want to get some foundation messages, get to those, to listen to those. You can go online and get caught up with the first four messages. You may not even realize it, but sometimes there's just so much in the scriptures with examples about going vertical. So you could say, well, what does it mean to be going vertical? It basically means that we keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on the Word, the promises of God, and we stay in the spirit realm. It also means that we need to be obedient. So if God tells you to do something or he says, don't do something, we need to obey. Staying vertical also means that we focus on the promises of God, especially when confronted with a negative report. God's truth will always override the facts. So if somebody's got some kind of an evil report, the scripture that promises you healing, that will override the situation. Going vertical means you allow the Holy Spirit to open your spiritual eyes so you can see things from heaven's perspective. From there, we get godly wisdom and revelation that allows us to advance God's kingdom and be victorious. We are not afraid of nor distracted by the enemy's tactics, so the Holy Spirit will lead us and always cause us to triumph. If the enemy can get you off track, he will. When you are in prayer, praising and worshiping God, you're vertical. We're going to talk about prayer tonight. You're going to see it in a couple things. So the opposite of going vertical is when you focus on the natural and the five senses. So your circumstances, your situations, the things that you're encountering that can go on around you can cause you to be in fear, anxiety, or even discouragement. But if you stay vertical, those emotions will not prevail. Okay? We don't go by feelings. And in the very first message, you saw that we had the other podium up here. And because I'm short, okay, I am challenged vertically in the natural. But none of us should be challenged spiritually. Amen. None of us need to be vertically challenged spiritually. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We know that from 2 Timothy 1:7. The Passion says, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So we don't deny the natural realm. We live in the natural realm, but we don't stay focused on it either. So as Christians, we need to understand that the world's ways are not our ways. And we are to stay vertical, focused on Jesus and his word, and realize we don't answer to man, but we answer to God. The first, let's turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 for the first scripture tonight. And I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. We'll start with that. And I'm also going to read it from the Passion. Familiar scripture. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now listen to it in the Passion. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Verse 2, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. The world will dictate to you what to wear, what kind of car to drive, how to be independent, when as Christians we need to be dependent on God. And they will dictate a lot of things that will not be vertical. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. We want our thinking transformed by the Holy Spirit. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So in other words, don't get caught up in the natural realm, but stay focused on God. Stay vertical. Don't let the world dictate to you what and how you should do things. Let's briefly review the foundation scripture. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. I'm going to read it from the New King James, and then I'll read it from the New Living. This was the Apostle Paul, okay? He's telling us how to deal with things of the world. And he says, starting in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Well, if you know anything about Paul and what he went through, stoned, bitten by a snake, imprisoned, shipwrecked, okay, these he describes as light afflictions. He says these things are light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So he's telling us, don't focus on those circumstances. Don't focus on those things that happen to you. Do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we're going to come across that about eternal when I talk about something that Jesus said. The New Living Translation, verse 17. "For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever." Paul focuses here on the future, okay? And because he focuses on the future, this enables him to properly assess the problems and see how small they are compared to their eternal results. Paul shrunk his problems down to a manageable size. He did three things: realizing that all his problems were temporary, recognizing there were rewards awaiting him for enduring hardships in this life, and third, focusing his attention away from carnal things and towards spiritual. He went vertical. He didn't think about what was going on around him. So in these verses, Paul wasn't saying he was ignorant of the problems in this life or in denial of their existence. He just didn't focus on the physical, the temporary things of the world. He was more focused on the eternal, intangible things of the spiritual realm. He didn't ignore the problems, but he didn't keep looking at them either. This is a key. We can never be truly happy or effective if we are focused on this physical realm only. Face it, carnal life is terminal. You'll see that in Romans 8. If all we are thinking about is this temporary physical life, there is reason for sadness and cynicism. Life can be hard, but when you factor in eternity and all the wonderful things God has awaiting us, this physical life becomes a stepping stone to something awesome. This knowledge must permeate everything we do and think. So today, if you turn on the news, you hear anything, people are dealing with things that can be challenging. We hear about the deaths of people, lost ones going home to be with the Lord, people losing jobs, financial loss, losing their homes, hurricanes, health issues that include COVID-related situations. Suicide deaths are on an increase. The national concerns, as well as international concerns. So fear and anxiety dominate the news. One good solution: disconnect from the news or minimize your exposure. Spending more time with the Lord will definitely make a difference. Sometimes we have to quarantine ourselves from social media and the world or anything else that separates us from the Word of God. It might even be your family. This entire series is focused on the greatness of our God. Christians need to realize that we serve the God who takes the impossible and makes it possible. We need to expect him to move on our behalf and speak the end from the beginning. If we do that, we will be in a better place. God contributes so much to us behind the scenes. He's always doing things for us behind the scenes. And then we go, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. But you realize he was doing things before you even asked. We talked about in the past messages the attributes of God. Number one, omnipotent, all-powerful. They need to be repeated. Number two, omniscient, all-knowing. He knows the past, the present, and the future. Omnipresent, he's everywhere at the same time. And omniscient, he's all-creative. He can create, having all powers of creation, and that includes raising the dead. So just because we can't see God doesn't mean he isn't there. He is in the spirit realm. So remember, everything that we currently see in the natural realm started out from the spiritual realm as God spoke it into existence. So the greatest example of someone going vertical is Jesus himself. Let's turn to John 5:15. John 5:15, Jesus said, I speak to you eternal truth. Okay, remember I said, okay, we're going to look at this. So Jesus says, this is an eternal truth. In other words, it's not temporary. It's not seen. He says, the Son is unable to do anything from himself or through his own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same works as the Father. If it's eternal, then Jesus is looking into the spirit realm. So this verse teaches us that Jesus was always obedient to the Father and showed it by refraining from doing anything on his own. He didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it or speak it. That should be our goal as well. John 8:28-29, I'm going to read it from the Passion. Jesus again says, you will know me as I am after you have lifted me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Then you will realize that I do nothing on my own initiative. I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me. I am his messenger, and he is always with me, for I only do that which delights his heart. So again, we see that Jesus lived vertical, and he certainly was victorious. So some of the situations where individuals stayed vertical and were victorious, first of all, we saw Jesus. We looked at the last message. He raised Lazarus from the dead, but he even waited. When you think about it, he didn't come to heal him. He waited for him to die. And then he went and for God to get a greater glory. We looked at Abraham. We talked about the fact that Abraham considered not. In other words, he didn't look at his natural physical body, nor Sarah's dead body, but he only looked at the promise that God had given to him that he would be the father of many nations, and he received the miracle. We looked at David. We saw that David stayed vertical when he was surrounded by so many situations when he went after Goliath. First of all, he comes to the where the Israeli army was, and he sees that Goliath is coming down twice a day, 40 days, ranting against the Israelites and saying they're not able to defeat him. And he's going on and on with this, which obviously scared off the Israelite army. He also was not encouraged by his older brother. And he also had to deal with King Saul, who was saying, well, you're too young to do this. But he didn't get discouraged by that, okay? And we also saw that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He went vertical when his own men were about to assassinate him. So Abraham, David, and we're going to look at Paul, none of them were perfect. All of them had issues in life. All of them made mistakes. Paul was confronted with numerous challenging situations, but he looked to the eternal. He tells us that in 2 Corinthians that we just read. All right, so let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, 32 to 35. And I'm going to read it from the New King James and also then from the Passion. We're going to look at Peter. Now, Peter was another person who messed up, all right? He denied knowing Jesus, but God used him and used him mightily. Acts 9, 32 to 35. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed. 8 years bedridden, paralyzed. I think he needs a miracle. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, in the King James, one I just took out one little section, it says, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole." W-H-O-L-E, arise and make thy bed. So the word whole there means to cure, heal, or make whole. So in other words, nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything was restored. If he needed a home, finances, whatever he needed, it was restored. Whatever would bring about wholeness was provided. It was done. And we, if you remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood, okay, Jesus said to her, "Thy faith has made thee whole." It's a different word in the Greek, but God provided for her whatever she needed. She had lost money. She had this condition for 12 years. She was socially outcast, but God made everything restored and made her whole. In the Passion, verse 32, as Peter was ministering from place to place, he visited God's devoted ones in the village of Lydda. He met a man there named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Anointed One instantly and divinely heals you. Now get up and make your bed." All at once he stood to his feet, and when all the people of Lydda and Sharon saw him, they became believers in the Lord. So, a couple key points. Peter stayed vertical. He knew, he understood about hearing from God. He was with Jesus for 3 years. Okay, but he wasn't, as I said, he wasn't perfect. Notice that Peter never prayed, but simply declared what was being done. He spoke and said, instantly, God heals you. He watched what Jesus did, and he did the same thing. The second thing is Peter gave him something to do. Do something that you couldn't do before. He says, get up, make your bed. And the third thing was all the people at Lydda and Sharon saw this healing and got saved. This healing was used to bring many to Christ. Evangelism follows demonstrations of God's kingdom power. This was a true work of evangelism. An evangelist goes out, shares the gospel, prays for people, miracles happen, and people come into the kingdom. Let's look at Acts 9, 36 to 43. I'm going to start reading that in the New King James. Acts 9, 36 to 43. This is about Peter in this, right underneath the same story. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Verse 40. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. Peter put them all out, knelt down, and prayed. I believe that he went vertical and heard exactly what to do from God. Turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. So Peter goes vertical, he prays. He obeyed God and put everybody out. I believe that he knew there was unbelief present, and he needed to do this because unbelief can hinder the move of God. Amen? We see that, okay? When Jesus was in his own town, he couldn't do much because of their unbelief. So again, he simply spoke two words, Tabitha, arise. No lengthy prayer. And again, we see many people believed on the Lord because of this miracle. So these are two situations where our omniscient God, the creative God, okay, the miracle-working God, does the impossible. Raised a woman from the dead and Aeneas, who was paralyzed for 8 years. Our God does the impossible. Let's look at Acts 12. Turn to Acts 12, and we're going to read verses 1 to 19 in the Passion. As Christians, our mindset has to start to be thinking about our God and how awesome he is and how he can do the things that to us seem impossible. He can do it. We've got to start changing our thinking. Transform that mind, not by what the world predicts and says, but by what the word says. So, in the Passion, starting verse 12, during this period, King Herod incited persecution against the church, causing great harm to believers. He even had the apostle Jacob, John's brother, beheaded. When Herod realized how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, he had Peter arrested and thrown into prison during the feast of Passover. 16 soldiers were assigned to guard him until Herod could bring him to public trial immediately after the Passover celebrations were over. The church went into a season of intense intercession, asking God to free him. Folks, prayer is vertical. When we get into prayer and go vertical before the Lord, things happen. They went into intense intercession, asking God to free him. Verse 6, the night before Herod planned to bring him to trial, he made sure that Peter was securely bound with two chains. Peter was sound asleep between two soldiers. Sound asleep. With additional guards stationed outside of his cell. When all at once an angel of the Lord appeared, filling his prison cell with a brilliant light, the angel struck Peter on the side to awaken him and said, hurry up, let's go. Instantly, the chains fell off his wrists. The angel told him, get dressed, put on your sandals, and bring your cloak, and follow me. Peter quickly left the cell and followed the angel, even though he thought he was only in a dream or a vision, for it seemed unreal. He couldn't believe it was really happening. They walked unseen past the first guard post and then the second before coming to the iron gate that leads to the city, and the gate swung open all by itself right in front of them. They went out into the city and were walking down a narrow street when all of a sudden the angel disappeared. That's when Peter realized that he wasn't having a dream. He said to himself, this is really happening. The Lord sent his angel to rescue me from the clutches of Herod and from what the Jewish leaders planned to do to me. Verse 12, when he realized this, he decided to go to the home of Mary and her son, John Mark. The house was filled with people praying. When he knocked on the door to the courtyard, a young servant girl named Rose got up to see who it was. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so excited that she forgot to open the door but ran back inside the house to announce, Peter is outside. He's standing outside. Are you crazy? They said to her. But when she kept insisting, they answered, well, it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter was still outside knocking on the door. When they finally opened it, they were shocked to find Peter standing there. Okay, let's stop for a second here. We pray, but do we believe? If they were shocked to see Peter, I wonder if they believed he would be freed. Just something to think about. Verse 17, He signaled for them to be quiet as he shared with them the miraculous way the Lord brought him out of prison. Before he left, he said, "Make sure you let Jacob and all the other believers know what has happened." At the first sign of daylight, the prison guards were in a tremendous uproar because of Peter's disappearance. Herod ordered a thorough search for him, but no one could find him. After he interrogated the guards, he ordered them executed. Then Herod left the province of Judea for Caesarea and stayed there for a period of time. All right. So the fact that Peter was asleep tells me he had to have put total trust in God. No matter what the outcome, he was vertical. Now, this is what I wondered in my mind. Okay. It doesn't say anything in the scripture, but I wondered if in his mind, he began to think about eternity and seeing the Lord. And maybe he's thinking, you know, I don't have to deal with any of this stuff, going to prison, getting beaten up. I could see my Jesus when this is over with. All right? He went vertical. And this allowed him to be in total peace, relaxed, and able to sleep. I believe he was focused on the unseen realm. So we're hearing about Christians in Afghanistan right now who are having supernatural experiences. They're getting out. They're getting told by the Holy Spirit, do this, do that, go here, go there. And as they're believing, as they're hearing from God, they're being delivered. Praise the Lord. Folks, we have many in the body of Christ in different countries that are experiencing persecution, and we need to be doing some intense intercession for them. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 8 to 17 in the New King James. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, this is the story that is reflecting the Syrians coming against Israel. There's battles going on there. 2 Kings 6, 8 to 17. Now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So this happened a couple times. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?" In other words, who's the betrayer here? Verse 12, and one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Elisha heard, was in the spirit realm, was vertical, and is hearing what he speaks in his bedroom. So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he's in Dothan." Verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army. He sends out a great army after one man. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out and was there, he said, "What shall we do?" So the servant of God, the servant of the man of God, goes out and he says, "Oh my gosh, this is all I see is this great army." And fear came on him, okay? So I can basically say that he was in the natural. He didn't deal with this from the vertical. So Elisha answers and says, "Do not fear." He had to be in the natural. He had to be totally looking at the senses. "For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Okay, he's already seeing in the natural realm. You follow what I'm saying? He's seeing in the natural, but now Elisha says, "Open his eyes that he can see." He wants him to see into the spirit. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So the servant saw the situation through natural eyes and consequently was captured by fear and hopelessness. Folks, there are people out there today with all the news that's going on and all the stuff about COVID and so forth, they are in fear. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear encouraging messages. Elisha saw things through spiritual eyes. Therefore, he was not moved by fear of what was happening in the natural. Elisha saw beyond the natural realm and by the Spirit, so he was able to see God's provision. Now, let me just say something here about this. Okay. Many times when we pray and we go to God, let's say there's a financial need. Lord, the rent comes and you don't have the finances. And so you're kind of in a panic, but you say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to God. All right. You go to the Lord, you pray. But sometimes what we need to do is keep pursuing and going vertical. Keep going. Because what happens sometimes is that we short circuit and we can go beyond and see further into the spirit realm and see the provision, just like Elisha's servant was able to see the provision. But you have to, don't get stuck and back off too soon. Continue in the vertical direction. Continue, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in confessing the promises of God, until you get at, you become peaceful and you are able to go to sleep, just like Peter. Okay? So the lesson Elisha taught his servant was, to believe the impossible, one must first see the invisible. To believe the impossible, you must first see the invisible. Another way of saying that today would be that if you are dealing with symptoms in your body and you want healing, see yourself healed. See yourself doing things you haven't been able to do. So Elisha did not ask God to simply show the servant another miracle. He asked for his servant to see in another dimension, to see beyond. Okay, so when you stay vertical, you can see into the invisible realm and you discern spiritual issues from God's perspective rather than man's. It is where you will hear from the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all truth. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 4 to 6. I'm going to read that in the New King James. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are in a place of partnership with Jesus at the right hand of God in heaven. You need to see yourself seated with Christ in the spirit realm. You need to see that everything is under your feet. Now, you're down here in the natural, but in the spirit realm, we are seated. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you're born again, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Amen? So, see yourself there. As we go through life, we want to live out of the spirit realm. We go vertical so we can live by the following the voice of the Holy Spirit throughout our day. As we're vertical, and as we're staying focused, and as we're tuned in, okay, the steps of a good man will be ordered by the Lord. The Lord will tell you, call so-and-so, go here, do this, don't go there. You will be in the spirit realm listening to the voice of God. We can lean on the help of the Holy Spirit, keep an ear towards heaven, and pray until the unction lifts. That's when you know it's done. You've prayed through, you've prayed out a situation. Get past your soul and your mind into the spirit realm. But folks, I encourage you to expect the miracles. That's one of the things that the body of Christ needs to think about and meditate on, the miracles that our God does. Expect your God to take the impossible situation that you're facing and make it possible. In the meantime, go get a good night's sleep like Peter. Expect the victories and the miracles simply because you have stayed vertical. Expect the miracles, expect them, and know that you will be victorious because you've stayed vertical. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that everything people are encountering out there, every situation, every problem that they may be facing, you have an answer for them. You have the answer to their problem. You know. And what we want to do is tap into your answer. We want to tap into the heavenly provision that's available through Jesus Christ. You already did it. It's already done. You did it at Calvary. It's already done. So we thank you, Father God, that anyone listening to this message who is experiencing discouragement, that they will go back and remember the things that you've done for them in the past, that they will pray in the Holy Spirit until things have lifted and they're in peace, and they will confess and speak the promises that God provided for us, and they will know that you care about every detail of their life. So we thank you, Father, that this message will bless everyone who hears it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We never close a service without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus, because without Jesus, you can't go vertical. Amen? So we know from Scripture that we need to ask him into our heart to be our Lord and Savior. And so if you'll just simply repeat this prayer after me and just say, "Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he was crucified. He died and was buried, but he rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. Take over my life. I thank you that I now have eternal life. And I give you all the praise, the glory, and honor in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen." If you have prayed that for the very first time, we'd like to connect with you and get some free information to you. So reach out to us with whatever avenue works for you, whether by email, by regular mail, or by phone. And you'll see on the screen the phone number that you can call, the email address, and also the mailing address of the church. And we want to get some free material into your hands, because it's like you're coming home from the hospital with a baby, and you want to have all the information so that this baby gets the best and knows, and you know how to take care of that baby. Well, that's how it is with the Lord. He wants to take care of you in this infancy stage of your spiritual growth.